Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Condemned, Lord Walewski, Book 2, by Vasily Mahanenko, translated by Taylor Margvelashvili, narrated by Kevin T. Collins. Chapter 1.
"I suppose you should give them names," said my mentor.
Once, long ago, presumably in a past life, he had been human, but those days were gone forever. Now the evil engineer was one of the four dark beasts officially acknowledged as purified by the Church of the Light, a convert who had managed to wrest himself free from the control of the dark god Skron. Nonetheless, much of the evil engineer's former essence remained, primarily his aura that manifested as a dark fog, eternally gloomy demeanor, lousy mood, and indelible desire to dominate everything and everyone. I could also add sadistic inclinations to the list, of course, but these I think he was born with. "Why? They're just weapons," I replied, rising from the ground. I wanted to really tear into someone, but managed to contain my emotions. Everyone who'd come running from all over the arena in anticipation of a free healing was significantly superior to me in strength. The Magical Academy of the Zarek Empire was attended by the Chosen Ones, children from the highest rungs of society whose parents spared no expense for their precious progeny. Enhancements had boosted their physical stats immensely, turning the young men and women into real monsters. What could I say when my partner, Karina Fardy, could easily bench-press 120 kilograms? A 20-year-old girl with a figure like a concubine from a romance novel.
"Healing's over!"
the evil engineer called out loudly without removing his heavy gaze from me.
"Just weapons? You called your katars just weapons? Get up, peasant. This obstacle course won't run itself. Fardy, enough wallowing around in plank position. One-handed dipstick, other behind your back. Max, Skron, mark me. If you fall off again, you'll be down there with your partner. You have to pass the pendulums. Move it, dead weight."
This was how my training sessions passed, serenaded by my mentor's encouraging and occasionally motivating diatribes. But I should probably say a few words about myself to explain how I became destined to such a complete shitshow of a life. I'm a doomed soldier by the alias Max, once from the glorious Walewski barony. Once, past tense, because officially the barony no longer exists. The Duke of Odovsky framed my family, there's not a doubt in my mind, and then had them all executed. No trial, no investigation, although on paper, I was told, everything had been above board. Even the Emperor approved of this demonstrative flogging of some insignificant family, just so the whole empire understood. Only a chosen few have rights in this world. I was lucky, if you can say that. Instead of the gallows, I was delegated to a particular caste of doomed soldiers. The qualitative composition of this community was highly specific. Murderers, rapists, embezzlers of public funds, those who the highest ranks simply found objectionable. But even here, among the dregs of society, people were further divided into two groups: those who owned magic stones, and everyone else. I fell into the first category and was assigned 6 months of study at the academy, so that I may at least survive my first encounter with a dark beast. For even among death row inmates, mages had their value. Once I arrived at the academy, I was appointed to a sadist named the Evil Engineer, who, for some reason, stubbornly insisted that his bullying was training, as well as a partner who by chance turned out to be the daughter of the very same Duke of Odovsky. I think that brief summary should catch you up to speed, although there's one more thing. Those Katars. The weapons had been gifted to me by a doomed soldier who went by the name Countess. It had once belonged to one of her warriors, but the rifts that spawned dark beasts were merciless. Savage, as the warrior had been known, was gone, but now I had these rather interesting swords, or, more precisely, long knives. As soon as we got back to the academy, however, the monitor assigned to me by the fortress, the highest governing body slash building of the Church of the Light, confiscated my weapons, and I never saw them again. Fast forward a day, back at the academy, two shaggy-looking schmucks paid me a visit, measured me up and down, so that another 3 days later, Father Knorr, the fortress's official representative at the academy, could, in a very solemn manner, that is, in the presence of the chancellor and head of security, present me with the handiwork of the local artisans. Automated steel Katars tailored to my body. The very same spring-action mechanics, in fact, but executed with much more skill and grace. The length of the retractable blade had been increased to 25 centimeters, and it had also gained the ability to transform. From now on, I could summon forth either a thin spike, capable of boring a hole in even the thickest set of armor, or a wide, double-edged blade designed to shred flesh. But the strangest and most unusual thing was that I was allowed to carry this weapon freely within the academy. For, from now on, it was an integral part of the doomed soldier named Max. And, it's worth noting, the fit was significantly better than the previous pair.
"We're done with our warm-ups for today," said the evil engineer when I once again fell off the obstacle course. "Max is at the training grounds this afternoon. Fardy is free for today. Doomer, make sure your partner makes it to breakfast."
"I want to go to the training grounds, too," croaked Fardy, holding herself horizontal with the last of her strength. It's hard enough to hold a plank, let alone one-handed, and with 2 10-kilogram plates on your back, it's practically impossible. Impossible for an ordinary person, because Karina had been holding it for several minutes and counting. "Do you need help, Fortress Sister?" I stopped a few paces from Fardy. A week had passed since our return from the rift, during which we, without saying a word, had developed a new style of communication, deliberately amicable, with the clear knowledge that in 6 months we would turn back into enemies. Someday I would kill Karina, or she me. There was no other option, no matter what you read in romance novels. Just as the Valevsky family ceased to exist, so the Fardy family would cease to exist. No other choice was given.
"If it's not too much trouble, Doomer brother," Karina replied, just as courteously, allowing me to do something that, in polite society, would be grounds for a duel. I stood the girl on her feet and began patting the sticky sawdust, shavings, and Lord knows what else from her jumpsuit. Karina's bottom, on which she had fallen repeatedly, was particularly affected. However, Fardy calmly endured this treatment. It was much more important for her to leave the arena clean than not to be touched by a Doomer, an entity that officially does not exist. "Will you make it there yourself, or shall I escort you, Fortress Sister?"
"I would
like to give up your company, Doomer Brother, but I have no such occasion." Karina all but collapsed on me. She no longer had the strength to move of her own volition. On top of that, no one had lifted the rule set down in our first training session stating that we were forbidden from taking recovery elixirs until we made it to our own beds. The two servants of the light assigned to Fardy and I as monitors watched closely to ensure compliance. What other notable things happened this week? There were perhaps two events worth singling out. For starters, I received a clear daily schedule, up at 5:30, half an hour for personal hygiene and transportation to the arena, 2-hour warm-up, after which I either dragged Karina back or she me. We switched roles frequently. Shower, breakfast, from 10 to 2 in the afternoon was a series of classes, some of which I took with the first-year groups. And the looks I got from the first years on day one, there was so much fear in their eyes it was as if a Krona had appeared before them. Worse, a Doomer with a weapon. Save yourselves while you can. But I'm waxing poetic. At 2 o'clock, I had a hearty lunch, after which the heat really came down. My main training with the evil engineer. From 4 o'clock until I could no longer breathe. Then another half hour. Dinner technically started at 9, but in all 7 days I still had never managed to crawl there on time. After a shower, I fell into bed and got something I had never even hoped for. Personal time. 2 hours of personal time. True, I had to spend it solely on reading textbooks, but my Doomer neighbors used theirs to the fullest, playing some kind of game with dice made from chunks of bread. At exactly 11 p.m., the changing of the guards took place, books were taken away, and lights were turned off. The clerics were careful to ensure that Doomers got their rest before the next day. They basically only followed me. The other guys were just my companions in suffering. That was the first notable item. The second was the daily 1-hour meetings with Father Knorr and one of the Red Robes. And the meeting times were constantly changing. Sometimes I was pulled out of exercises, from training, deprived of lunch. Nothing seemed to faze the servants of the light. They seated me at the table, sat down opposite, and started asking me the same thing for the 100th time. Everyone was interested in this piece of the map. The churchmen's excitement when I told them what I had received from the master was beyond words. I've never seen so many members of the Fortress Security Services in one place. It seemed as if they'd fill the whole academy. What didn't they do to me in those first few days? Studied, tested, took some sort of analyses, even took a peek in areas that should never see the sun. And, to top it all off, they warned me right off the bat that any disobedience would lead them to beat me to death and snatch the piece of the map from my corpse. Apparently, the only thing stopping the clerics from taking this measure was the fear that they wouldn't be able to obtain anything from a dark creature. I had to draw the map fragment, which was located in a special tab on my status bar, 3 times, each time explaining that it would be impossible to fill in the missing pieces, because I only had 1 of 5 fragments. I did not inform the representatives of the fortress about the fact that somewhere inside me was also 1 of the 12 shards of the Amplify Stone. This was my ticket to freedom, and I had no intention of giving it to anyone. There was a significant gap in my education in the subjects of both geography and heraldry, so I had no clue which part of our world was being depicted in the drawing, although it became clear from the churchmen's reactions that they understood perfectly well what region it was referencing. But of course, no one was going to inform me. Not till I'm older. I set off along the familiar route. First, I dragged Karina back to my place, where I collapsed on the bed, held up the full vial of recovery elixir for our monitors to see, gulped it down, then got up and dragged my partner to her bed. The right to enter the Academy dorms had been personally granted to me by Zurgen Shore. In Karina's room, I had to once again demonstrate the vial was full, then poured the entirety of the contents into Fardy's mouth and enjoyed a few minutes of peace. It was a rare moment away from the watchful eyes of our overseers. Both clerics had left the girl's room and shut the door tightly behind them.
"Fuck! When will I die already?"
Karina whispered as the wave of warmth passed through her body.
"Just say the word, and I can arrange that for you in an instant," I offered, sitting down near the bed.
Despite the elixir's effects, my body still ached.
"As long as you let the churchmen know that you're acting of your own free will, without coercion."
"Don't get your hopes up. I already wrote my father to tell him you're still alive and seeking revenge. I'm sure you won't last a week in the fortress. The Duke of Odovsky has great power, a broad circle of connections, and very long arms."
"I don't give a damn about your daddy's long arms." I clenched my fist just right, causing the catarrhs to spring out. With a characteristic click, a long spike appeared, but immediately vanished again.
"Don't get provoked, not in the presence of a Fardy.
I'll be so close to him that his long arms will only get in the way."
"I'll kill you first," Karina assured me, her eyes never leaving my weapon. "And I'll take those catarrhs for myself. You know, our mentor was right. Masterpieces like that really do deserve their own names. May I suggest weak and helpless, your natural states of being?"
"As long as they're not smug bitch or soulless harpy. You back to normal yet? Can you make it to breakfast yourself, or do I have to drag you there, too?"
"Just what I need. They already look at me like a leper because I train with you. Go fail your lessons. I'll see you tomorrow. I hope I'm lucky and you die at the training grounds."
"You make sure you don't accidentally get yourself killed before then. I want to finish you off myself."
Karina and I had been exchanging such pleasantries all week. For some reason, the clerics were not afraid to leave us on our own. Leaving the room, I found myself in a thick stream of people, students in a hurry to have breakfast so they would be on time to their favorite classes. It was the fourth years, and some groups of third years who had been stuck in the arena since morning. The first and second years contrived to sleep in as long as possible, although, judging by some of their puffy faces, they hadn't gotten to sleep that night. But the arrival of an elite tore us all away from the unexpected freedom.
"Princess!" A muffled whisper moved through the rows, causing everyone to press against the wall, including me.
The youngest daughter of the Emperor lived in a hostel among us mere mortals. Of course, she enjoyed the liberties dictated by her status. Personal bodyguards who had nearly beaten me up once, her own separate floor where, without invitation, no student or even teacher of the academy would dare set foot, a personal chef, and even a team of lackeys that was always ready to bear her well-fed majesty off to unknown distances. Miralda Lurton strode regally down the corridor, basking in the attention when, and this made me rather unhappy, her gaze lingered on me. A terrible look. Anticipation. Stopping nearby, Miralda turned to one of the girls accompanying her.
"It's only when you lose someone that you begin to realize how much they meant to you. Count Kamalski, although he was not a traditionally handsome man, and his jokes sooner evoked boredom than a smile, he did everything wholeheartedly, never asking stupid questions.
those who are willing to die for their princess, for a fleeting chance to become one of her favorites, are too few and far between to leave their death unrequited. If you thought your churchmen could protect you, swine, then you were deeply mistaken. Count Kamalsky will be avenged." The sudden blow to the back of the head was so strong I thought it must have decapitated me, but instead it only gave rise to a large sheaf of sparks. Along with the weapon, I had earned the right to keep the rest of my mana, and, as a result, almost never switched off my protection. This greatly accelerated my progress through the arena, allowing me to block some of the extremely fast grappling dummies that I had been physically unable to dodge at my current stage of development. This infuriated the mentor, but he realized that he needed to get used to this new reality, since I had turned out to be so weak. A heart-rending cry was heard, and the students rushed out of the corridor in a panic, stampeding toward the doors. Miralda was tucked away behind the enormous shields carried by her two faithful bodyguards, but continued to survey the situation. Armed, I'm sure, with more protection amulets than could be found in the rift below our feet. I noticed all this in passing as I jumped back, pressing my back against the wall so that I'd have time to react to a new attack. Judging by the fact that my mana bar had dropped by half, the blow had been from a very close distance and would have been fatal. But there was no one near me. Just three poor fellows lying face down on the floor, staining the floor with a huge pool of red. Even Magister Smalog couldn't help them now. It's difficult to heal a person who's missing half his head. I felt the movement rather than saw it. The space next to me suddenly gained density, transforming into a member of the Nocturnal Brotherhood. An all-black suit with only a slit for the eyes to suggest that it was a human attacking and not the darkness itself. Another close-range blow, this time to the stomach, and I couldn't dodge or react, so I did something Father Knorr and Magister Shore would certainly not give me a pat on the head for. I activated Dark Spike at the same time as the sword slammed into my defenses, and then threw both hands forward, releasing the katars. My stomach cramped in wild pain, my shield burst, and the assassin's blade entered my body. The student uniform did little to protect me. However, I succeeded as well. The explosion behind my opponent was unexpected enough to throw him forward, right onto the steel spikes of my katars. If the killer had any amulets, they succumbed to the Academy's gifts. A cloud of stone fragments covered us, and I fell to the floor, thoroughly wounded. Zero mana, nothing to heal me, stomach burning as if on fire, threatening to engulf me whole, and my face had taken a good beating too. One thing made me glad. The katars had worked their magic. The freak that had attacked me was gone. Once and for all. "Finish him off!" the princess squealed as soon as the darkness had dissipated. "Kill the dark beast! Immediately!" One of her guards set his shield aside and even took a step in my direction before a voice full of venom was heard. "Does the princess wish to encroach on fortress property?" The voice belonged to Karina. Knowing full well that I risked losing consciousness from the slightest movement, I tilted my head. Fardy was standing at the doorway I had just recently stepped through, wet, covered in soap suds, hastily wrapped in a towel that hid nothing from my eyes. But this didn't bother my partner. She stared at the princess and held her hand out in front of her. The girl was preparing to attack. "You wouldn't dare!" Notes of panic rose in Miralda's voice. The little spectacle she had rehearsed was starting to go off the rails. According to her plan, her chubby little legs should be kicking me in the side at that very moment. Watch me. Take another step, and I'll attack. Fardy's word of honor. Fortress's honor. This Doomer belongs to the church, and it's not for you to take him.
Something in Karina's voice said she wasn't bluffing. The girl really would attack the princess or her bodyguards if they got any closer to me.
He's done for anyway,
the princess said with vitriol. Magister Smalog is not at the academy. He won't survive with a wound like that. Let's go. I've seen all I wanted to.
A dark haze began to swim before my eyes. The blow to my stomach had proved too serious a wound. I could no longer collect myself enough to stare after the princess. Any movement now would be my last. So all I could do was look up at Fardy, rejoicing that the last thing I saw in this life was not the bared muzzle of a beast biting into my throat, but a beautiful, naked female form, even if it belonged to someone that I would have gladly finished off at the first opportunity.
Drink! Drink, you bastard! Karina leaned over me and tried to pry open my mouth. I made an incredible effort and parted my lips, and the life-giving moisture of the recovery potion flowed inside.
Shit! The wound's too deep. Hold on! Karina disappeared into the room, only to return immediately with a few more vials.
Drink, and turn on your aura. Turn it on, dark beast, and don't you dare shut it off early!
Another stream of liquid went down my gullet, and my mana bar jumped sharply up. The healing aura pictogram was right there on my status bar, as close as it could be, but it took an incredible amount of effort to get to. Nevertheless, I succeeded, and for 80 seconds my condition improved. The wound, miraculously, was still not healed, but I at least had a hope for salvation. The dark haze cleared from my vision.
More,
I croaked, as soon as the aura ran out. Karina sat next to me the whole time, motionless. The girl understood that any movement was akin to death for me now.
Not so fast, Doomer. You owe me your life. Got it? Confirm you understand. Nod, mumble, crap yourself. I don't care, but I need you to know, dark beast, that you're in my debt. Or you can die in my arms and I'll be all in tears, telling the tale of the bad, bad princess who struck down the hero of the rift. You owe me your life, and I don't give a damn that you're a doomer.
Yes,
I croaked, without even pausing to think. Without mana, I was dead. Without healing elixirs, I was dead. Without outside help, dead. And it didn't matter who I owed now. It wasn't to Scrawn, so it was a way out.
Drink!
The contents of yet another mana flask vanished down my throat, and Fardy poured another recovery potion on top. My partner was furious. Her movements were ragged, twitchy. She didn't look like herself at all, and I couldn't believe that it was due to the stress she was under. There's no such thing as stress for a person who managed to maintain consciousness during their first foray into the rift. Something incomprehensible was happening to her, but she continued to pour potion after potion into me, trying to pull me back to this world. When the red robes arrived, I didn't look up. At some point, the corridor filled with people, and there was a rumble of voices, but I couldn't make anything out. My condition was so dire that I had to skip every other breath. Soon, the heaviness in my chest lifted. They removed the bodies of the killers. The fire in my stomach, which had subsided, flared up again, but I managed to remain conscious. My mana was steadily approaching zero, and I needed a new dose of elixir. I certainly wasn't about to give up, because today I made a new enemy. Turb, capital of the Zarek Empire, present. "Magister Elor, I have good news. We have found a way to fulfill your order."
The servant bowed, waiting for a reaction.
"Explain," demanded Magister.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?